waiting isn't easy. And it's made harder for us by our instant information, instant gratification culture. But the ability to wait matters. You may have heard of something called the marshmallow test. This is a psychological experiment in which children of about 4 years old are presented with a marshmallow, or if they don't like marshmallows, another treat of their choice, and told that if they don't eat it before the researcher returns to the room, and the researcher goes out for about 7 minutes, then when the researcher comes back, they could eat their treat and they'd get an extra one as well as a reward for waiting. I'm not sure how many managed to wait the full 7 minutes, but the children who were able to wait at least a bit to resist that temptation to eat the treat immediately were found to have better educational and social emotional outcomes at age 15 than those who couldn't wait. And that study is clearly about a bit more than just waiting. It's also about self-control, resisting temptation, and delaying gratification. But we need to be able to exercise self-control, to resist temptation, and to delay gratification if we are going to be able to wait well for something. That is, to wait without becoming impatient, frustrated, distracted, or indeed just giving up. I'm afraid I can't quote you any studies on this, although I did try to find some, but I suspect that waiting is easier when you know for how long you're expected to wait, and more difficult when you don't know how long the wait might be. If that is the case, then the disciples probably weren't very satisfied with Jesus' answer to their question about when he would restore the kingdom of Israel, because he really didn't give them an answer. He just said, "It's not for you to know." But of course, he didn't leave it at that. He gave them a promise. The waiting wouldn't be time spent doing nothing. They were to receive the Holy Spirit and to be Jesus' witnesses, telling his story to the ends of the earth. But of course, they also had to wait for the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know how long that wait would be either. Not long, as it turned out. But of course, they didn't know that. So they waited together, and they prayed, and they prepared by electing another disciple to take Judas Iscariot's place among the 12. As we go through this period from Ascension to Pentecost, we wait with the disciples, anticipating that world-changing moment when the Holy Spirit arrives and the church as we understand it is born. It's a good time for us to pray too, especially to pray for the renewal of the church both locally and globally. Waiting is a recurring theme in the life of the church. Some of those times of waiting have been harder than others. The church to which Peter was writing his first letter, it seems, was experiencing a time of persecution, waiting and no doubt hoping for it to end. While he can't say in his letter how long they'll need to wait, he does offer them hope. He promises that despite what they're going through, God loves them and will in due time exalt them. And he offers some advice. Discipline yourselves. In other words, exercise self-control. He advises them to resist temptation and keep alert. Keep watching for God and for God's working in the world, even in the midst of troubles. The church to which that letter is addressed is promised that in time, God will, quote, himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. If they could wait, not only would they get the relief that they longed for, but God would give them so much more. They would get the marshmallow and the extra treat. We ourselves are in a time of waiting. On the societal level, we wait for peace to be restored in Ukraine, the Middle East, Sudan, and elsewhere. Some of those places important for our own security and economy. We wait for an end to the cost of living crisis, and we wait for a more just society. As a congregation and a parish, we wait for the process of appointing a new team vicar to run its course, hopefully to a positive outcome. We wait for the seeds of ministry and outreach that we have been planting to grow and bear fruit, as we pray that they will. These do not need to be unproductive times of waiting. Waiting offers us time for prayer and reflection. Waiting offers us the time to consider where we might get involved in bringing about the positive changes that we want to see, and then getting involved. Waiting offers us an opportunity to take stock of our lives, individually and as a church, and to think about where God might be calling us next. Waiting is often difficult, but it can be rewarding. Waiting can be a positive experience. These days, waiting is a bit countercultural. Knowing how to wait well, how to wait in hope, how to wait actively and not just passively. These are things that the church can model to a world that wants to have everything now and is consequently often disappointed and dissatisfied. We can show the world how to keep your eye on the marshmallow without needing to grab for it right away, and that it is worth waiting, because when we wait well, in the end, we don't just get the marshmallow, we get so much more. Amen.